Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We're talking Commanders offensive coordinator search. Could they keep things in-house and stay internal with their next OC? I floated the idea of David Blau. Do they have to go outside the building? Or might it be smart to ease the transition from Cliff by going with someone who's been around him? Let's go to Joe, who's in L.A. listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Well, first I want to say, Grant, that I think your best chance of getting accidentally hired into the staff is not if they try to hire Grant Udinski, but if they try to hire your brother, Logan Paulson.
Logan Paulson.
I think that would be a That's not a bad idea.
We've just hired Paulson. Which one?
Yeah. Logan Paulson gets the tight end coach's job. They go to text Paulson. They offer me the gig. I hang up before they can correct their mistake.
Exactly. Exactly. But I also wanted to say about what you were... I'm getting pretty excited listening to you talk about David Blau, because I think I'm really sold on the best of both worlds. Continuity for Jaden, but also young blood, but familiarity. I think it's great. I think if you're trying to predict whether it's going to happen, you know, whether Dan Quinn's going to kind of swing for the fences or play it safe, the most important question would be, or piece of information would be, like, who fired Cliff? Was that more Dan Quinn's decision, or was that more AP's decision? Because I think if Dan Quinn made that call, that kind of signals that he isn't playing it safe. I think playing it safe would have been to keep Cliff Kingsbury. So maybe that signals that he is willing to take more of a risk. I think that would be the better decision for him and better for the organization, personally.
Well, the blowing out of Kingsbury, no doubt about it, is a massive risk, is a massive, bold move. I mean, it is that the word Kime used yesterday, which I completely agree with, is ballsy.
Ballsy.
Especially going into year three of Jaden Daniels and for Dan Quinn, a gotta-have-it year. This is make-it-break-it time, buddy.
Yeah.
And we talk about the season in a vacuum. How about just the start of the season? What happens if they're 0-3 or 1-4 at the beginning of next year? You're cooked at that point if you're Dan Quinn. So you don't just need to have a good season. I think you need to start really fast next year. If you have a first-time coordinator, if you have a 30-year-old guy that's never called plays before, maybe you're nervous that it makes it harder to do that.
Well, especially given this past year, right? Not just with the record, but the softest training camp in human history, the veteran days off, the slow and steady, and we'll kind of figure it out, and we'll play our better football later on. Like, given everything, the backdrop of how it went, it'll feel like more of the same, right? If you don't get off to a fast start with all the changes you made, and you know, it may not be fair because the race isn't won in the first month of the season, but, man, you could do a lot of damage, especially given what's happened.
Bernie in Potomac Falls, you're on Grant and Danny. What about an internal candidate keeping it in-house, somebody familiar with Daniels like David Blau?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm definitely intrigued, and I can tell you why. He definitely has a relationship with Daniels, so you don't have to worry about that. They didn't blow him out when they blew out Kingsbury. And also, we had McVay, Shanahan, and McDaniels, and they all left and went on to have successful coaching careers. They were all here. Are we going to let that happen again? You have, 30 free agents. You're going to need some continuity because a lot of them aren't coming back, right? I love the fact of hiring young. He played the sport. And sometimes you got to buy early and buy cheap, right? You can't always wait and say, this is a proven guy, this is a proven guy. I don't think that's what you need. If you want somebody that is malleable, that can listen to you, I think you promote him. And you do it early. You let him get factored in at the draft. You know, only time will tell if Mayo was a problem in New England and Vrabel solved everything, right? Was that going to happen anyway? Did they have the talent and it just took a year? I think if you get him in there, let him infuse youth and a different way of looking at the offense. Yeah, I'm all for it. And then get ready for the draft and get ready for free agency. I know you got a lot of calls, John. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate you, buddy. The idea on paper certainly makes a lot of sense. Now, again, we're combining a bunch of different things. In a vacuum, let's just say Cliff had to leave because he got a head coaching gig. right? And a couple of the guys went with him. And David Blau was still left over. Tevita Pritchard is gone, and Brian Johnson's gone, and a couple other dudes have moved on, right? Because you had a good season. This could have happened anyhow. And we're talking about kind of keeping the train on the tracks. I think people would be more excited. There's a sense, and I remember this with when the Wizards went internal to hire Tommy Shepard, there was a, it really is more of the same. There is a degree of that with this. And I think the point that you've made very well is, here's the distinction. He wasn't raised in the Cliff environment. He was also part of the Detroit Lions, great environment, and he's a recent player and the like. And he's probably a year early from, you know, being the hot head coaching candidate, right? And you could take advantage of that for a guy that hasn't done it a lot before. But it's risky for someone without any track record.
If they were to hire Blau, would that go against the Jordan Schultz report of this fracture between front office and staff and meddling of Adam Peters into the offensive side of the ball for Washington? Because my first thought would be, well, if Blau's willing to stay and take the job, then he obviously has a pretty good relationship with Peters, and you know, Peters thinks highly enough of him. He didn't seem to be meddled with. But then as I think about it, it probably doesn't tell you or inform you a whole lot. There's only 32 of these gigs.
Yeah.
And if you're Blau, you're maybe not getting another one this year. I know he's interviewing for the Lions, if the Commanders let him. I don't think there's been an interview yet. And he may very well get that job, but he may not. Again, you're 30. You're probably a year or two away from, you know, it being like, why does this guy not have a job yet? This is a little bit early still in the process. You're more naturally in line for a quarterback coach, pass game coordinator role this year.
Yep.
And then the OC job, let's say next year, the year after a couple of years where you're calling plays, or maybe being an OC somewhere where you don't have to call plays. Like, you could go to Detroit, be their OC, but Dan Campbell still calls plays. I'm not saying that's a good idea after what I saw when they weren't playing Washington, but you could do something like that. But I wonder about that part of it. Like the report today of the coaches really thought Adam Peters was, or the front office was, meddling. Well, if you keep a guy in your building and then promote him, he didn't think that, maybe.
Yeah. So the way my retort to that would be, I bet you that's what Cliff Kingsbury thought, is that Adam Peters was too meddling. I don't know that every coordinator got bothered. You know what I mean? I think they had friction. I think that's because that's, to me, where this came from, was that side of it. So I don't think that would necessarily dispute this, refute that. I mean, just on paper it would, but if you kind of drill down a little bit, this felt like a Kingsbury sourced, or his agent or somebody giving this to Jordan Schultz, and there's a report. But I don't know that that was Joe Witt's complaint necessarily, that Peters is going in there screaming that you've got to play Jordan McGee more snaps or whatever. Who knows? But that's my guess as to that. But to a degree, I guess it would contradict that slightly.
Let's go to Will in Springfield on G&D. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
How are you?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
appreciate
man.
It. What do y'all think about Marty Morningwig?
Marty Morningwig?
I have not heard that name in forever.
Are you doing a bit?
Marty Morningwig was
the 65-year-old? Is there a Marty Morningwig Jr.?
Yeah. I feel just because, I mean, you might as well go old. I mean, I don't think it's going to keep working with the offense, young offense coordinators and Dan Quinn. You might as well go young all the way or go old school.
Well,
he hasn't coached since 2018. I'm going to pass on that.
You're definitely doing a bit. Are you doing – he just hung up.
No, I think that was real.
I don't think that was real.
I think it's real.
You want to go, okay, is Ed Hughes available from the 85 Bears? He called their plays that year. Is Al Saunders still with us? He's only 78.
Bring that 700-page playbook back.
Marty Morningwig, either you or his son, or you're doing a bit.
Was that Steve Morningwig in Springfield?
Give me a break. Toby, was that guy real? What can you tell me about the behind-the-scenes of that call? If you had to bet, was that a real call?
It's a real call. I mean, he said that he wasn't interested in David Blau, and he wanted Marty Morningwig. And he's like, you heard of the guy? I'm like, oh, I've heard of the guy.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Not in a while.
Listen, right. Listen.
He was the OC of the Ravens literally in like 2018. And he hasn't been heard of since. He was a consultant who got some film sent to his house every Tuesday for the Eagles in 2020 in the pandemic year.
I think you could get Bill Lazor right now for the job. You think you could? Him and Ken Zampezi are available.
That is wild.
Get some interviews going.
Is Marv? Let me make sure Marv Levy's still with us before I float his name. I think, yeah, he is. He just turned 100. What about Marv Levy?
Marv Levy.
Now, his reason for that was he wanted it because Michael Vick did well when he was the OC for Michael Vick.
Yes, he did.
So he's definitely doing a bit.
A long time ago.
I don't think he is.
If he's referencing the success of Michael Vick, is he saying because Washington also has a dual threat quarterback?
I think that's what he's trying to go with.
And that's the first guy you think of?
Listen.
You don't think of Todd Monken, who's out of a job 40 miles away, who just did a hell of a job with the Ravens the last couple of years? You go, I got this dual threat quarterback. You know who would make sense is Marty Morningwig in 2026. I mean, there's not a GM in the league that would even know where to find that guy. Like, seriously, you think they have Marty Morningwig's number? I mean, that is wacky. That could be a fun segment.
Do you know how
Wrong
good a job?
Answers only. Who's going to be their OC?
You know how good a job Ken Wisenhunt did with Zach Wittenberg in 2015 in Tennessee.
You're talking about Zach Mettenberger.
Now, Mettenberger. If you're wondering what Marty Morningwig is up to, I don't have any current updates. But
you wouldn't.
May 18th of 2024 on his Twitter, he had a branding party at the JK Ranch for his cattle. I'm not sure exactly where this is, but I don't know. Maybe he wants to take a break from his herding and get back into coaching.
Drawing some plays in the dirt.
Marty Morningwig? There's just no way that's a real phone call
that
we just took. That would be a great call for the Wrong Answers Only, because his name came up all the time, constantly. What do you picture him looking like, Marty Morningwig? Can you picture him?
Yeah.
I picture like a bad kind of bull haircut.
Yeah. Goatee now for some reason.
Let me see. Yeah, he has a terrible haircut. Marty Morningwig. What is he doing now? I mean, he hasn't been around.
Dude, he was the OC for the Jets in 2013. The 8-8 Jets. That's Marty Morningwig's music.
One of the first ever times I went to an NFL game, Marty Morningwig was calling plays. Little me, speaking of bowl cuts, rolling up there. Let's call Marty Morningwig.
Who was the 15th best offensive coordinator in 2010?
Who was your who's your actual answer, Wrong Answer Only guy for fun hire? Because Jay has no chance of getting the job.
Right.
But Jay Gruden would be just hilarious if that happened. And we just kept having him on Mondays to break the game down. He's like, yeah, we tried to run the ball a couple times, but
I ran duo.
They stopped it and we said, screw this.
I called the fade.
If Dan has a problem with it, he can kiss my ass.
And I fell asleep and called another fade.
Wrong Answers Only. Jay's a good one.
Oh. Jim Zorn, bringing his quirky style.
Zorny.
Right? He's throwing medicine balls at quarterbacks. They're jumping over cones. He had a Komodo dragon on the field for some reason, so you high step.
Ms. Jackson with the headset. Jaden's mom, just let's call the plays. Mm. Why not? Toby, who's your Wrong Answers Only OC?
I know a guy who knows a thing or two about playing quarterback in this city. Robert Griffin III.
Bobby Good Three Lord. Sticks.
Can you imagine?
It's like when Lance Harbor was calling plays for Mox.
Coach Lance, put me in. We'll block it.
Darius, who's your Wrong Answers Only offensive coordinator hire, play caller for the Commanders?
I mean, why wouldn't we run it back with Scott Turner? Scott Turner's revenge. Let's get him back in the building.
Because that's what Dan Quinn wants. He'll do what the head coach says. You want to run it more or run it more?
I saw the weirdest thing, by the way. So is this strange to you? I'll never be able to find his Twitter account now. I saw a tweet, and I was like, there's no way this is actually Scott Turner. But it looked like it really was, because he was retweeting pictures of his sister and Norv doing a podcast together. I'm like, that has to be Scott Turner. But here we go. Scott Turner tweeted on December 28th, 2025, so week 17.
Okay.
If Kyle Shanahan doesn't win coach of the year, it's a joke, with a bunch of exclamation points. But Scott Turner was working for another NFL team this season.
It could just be a guy named Scott Turner. That's not a crazy name.
That's weird, though, right?
Yes.
You never see a guy who works on another staff tweet support of someone on a different staff. I was like, how would he, why would he do that?
So it's really him?
It looks like his account. And he's right, by the way. Kyle Shanahan should be considered for coach of the year.
Should be highly considered.
I actually kind of liked Scott Turner, I'll be honest. I didn't think he was exceptional. I thought he was fine.
Mm.
And as a dude, it seems like he was a pretty cool dude.
Seems like a cool dude.
Went to Oakton High School.
Yeah, seems like a really cool dude.
Home of the Cougars. Clary, who's your Wrong Answer Only? It can't be Jared Goff, by the way, because he's going to have to play for at least one more year's worth of Sundays. Who's your Wrong Answers Only hire for the Commanders as the OC?
This is actually a good question. I was going to use Scott Turner, but actually, you know who I'm going to use is our guy, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, he's producing stuff on Netflix. He's a great tight end. I bet you that guy could scheme up some plays. And you know what? We need help at tight end. Maybe he could help Ben Sinnott. Maybe he could.
I thought you were going to go player coach.
We could do that.
He calls plays and also is a tight end.
You'll never guess where this play's going.
Yeah, you know what? We could trade Jaden Daniels and 3 first-round picks for Jared Goff, and he could do both.
What days were you out last week or the last couple weeks?
Before Christmas and then to the day after Christmas.
So I don't remember if you were in or not, if you remember this thing that happened on the show. Were you in when we took that call from that guy who said they should hire Marty Mordenwig as the offensive coordinator? I hope it was real. I really do.
Yeah, listen, you here's what you do. You start with Marty. You call Hugh Jackson, see if he's around.
What happens now when they hire Marty Mordenwig?
If they hire Marty Mordenwig, what do?
The Marty party is back.
It never left. It just laid dormant for you like a cicada. If they hire Marty Mordenwig to be the OC, what do you do?
What do I do?
Like, legitimately, what do?
I'll do a Chris Russell thing. I'll, like, say something crazy. I'm not actually going to do it, but, like, I'll walk to Memphis or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'll chop off my left arm, whatever. And then I'll get CK to put out a press release that I tried
that
to.
That I didn't, and I couldn't chop it off.
Let me, Chuck Sapienza style. Andre in Temple Hills, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
I don't know about OC, but I got a great idea for DC.
Go.
Defensive coordinator. Ron Rivera.
Oh, good wrong answer only.
That's a good wrong answer only. It really is.
Why not bring him back? You've got Ron Rivera, and then you've got
Ron Rivera with his hat backwards.
Another Ron Rivera, but he wears his hat backwards a little bit. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Oh, dude.
I like that.
Oh, no.
Brian just tweeted us. You can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. He said, your interpretation of Jay Gruden today caused me to almost fall out of my office chair. That was funny. Jay, call in and hear this. Jay probably doesn't care that much. Here's how that
What do those
go.
Guys say? I don't care.
Jay would call in and be like, here's what we said. We'd do the impression. He'd be like, okay, well, that's good, I guess.
Why'd you bother me with that?
And what's your point?
Just like that. That's what he would say.
Can I go back to eating chicken wings and playing some golf? It's nice in Florida today.
Stuff being me.
Do you remember when I think I said to Jay something like, hey, Ron Rivera's winning percentage is worse than yours was. I think that's when he said that, actually. He's like, okay, what's your point?
What's your point?
And what's your point?
I was like...
Oh, and I thought that was to Michael Phillips. When Phillips goes, did you know that Josh Norman is doing a weekly show on Fox?
No,
and
that's
a surprise.
He's on the cell phone there. That's him on the...
Oh, yeah.
That's when I said to him, I'm like, hey, I just wanted to let you know, Ron Rivera's winning percentage has fallen below... yours.
And what's your point?
I was like, well, they still have Ron.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe they should still have you. Adam, what's going on? Wrong answers only. Who should call plays?
Sherman Lewis, the bingo caller.
Sherman Lewis.
Oh, where is Sherm?
Show me Sherman.
Now, let me make sure, because I do want to make sure respectfully to Sherman Lewis that he is still with us. Let's see. Isn't there a game like this? Like
The Junks play it.
What's it called?
According 83 years old. Looks like he is still with us.
Let's go, Sherman.
Oh, that's my Sherman.
I mean, come on. Let's call Sherman up. Let's do the graphic again. Sherman calls the play to Trey Johnson, who calls the play to Randy Thomas, who calls the play to...
I mean...
Like, there was like elbows connected to the hip bones connected to the...
Because, I mean, the poor guy...
There was a flip chart.
Terrible situation where he's like, I'd like to run, but kind of to the left. I'm like, all right, we got to play for that. You know, like, give me Xerxes tambourine eyeball 45. Okay.
All right, let's run a dive to the left guard. Like, let's...
Okay, what's that look like?
Like, he called the runs, but someone called the passes. Andrew is in Stafford. Sounds like you like the David Blau idea, huh, Andrew?
I do like it.
More than you like Marty Mordenwig?
Which one, Marty Mordenwig or David Blau?
I'd go David Blau, but only if we can't get Eric Bieniemy back. Because
ooh, good one.
Offensive coordinators named after radio hosts are awesome in this city.
Yeah.
That is fair, yeah.
EB would have to give up his moniker.
The real EB.
He was so mad about that. Michael just tweeted me and said, everyone wants to run the ball more. Why not Bill Callahan?
There's the answer.
You could probably get Brian Callahan as play caller.
Eric the enemy.
The enemy. It took me like 100 calls to realize he was calling him
Eric. He was doing that, yeah.
My wife told me. She's like, you know that guy Shane always calls him Eric the enemy, right? I'm like, I don't think so. Sure enough, that's exactly what he called him.
Eric the enemy.
He shouldn't. He should just call him Eric Bieniemy. That's not what he called him. Eric the Enemy. I want to play some of Logan Paulson's analysis of the Kingsbury offense, some of the shortcomings and areas where they need to improve. We'll do that a little bit later on. We're taking you up to 6:30. Grant and Danny on the Morning Wig. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight on The Fan. The Caps play in 90 minutes just after 7 o'clock there at home. So if you're making your way down to Capital One Arena, hopefully before you get out of the car, you'll be able to hear a conversation we had with John Walton previewing the Caps and the Dallas Stars tonight as we welcome you back on G&D. So there's one thing coaching-wise that I feel like I keep seeing that I don't understand. I want to get you to try to explain this to me. And if any of you guys have a thought on this, I'm all ears. But I have kind of just dismissed this outright. I keep seeing people saying, what about this guy? And they'll reference like the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame or the offensive coordinator at LSU or mm-hmm. the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss or whatever. Isn't the entire point that they want to get away from being a college offense, like a gimmicky, up-tempo, spread, non-traditional NFL? Isn't that why they're changing? Why would they go to the college ranks to hire a coordinator?
That's a very fair question. Unless somebody, and I couldn't delve deep into exactly what, I don't know, Oregon's running. I'd imagine it's probably some of the up-tempo college stuff. But if they're running a pro-style system, maybe that's something there. Like, I know guys have made that jump. Like, Joe Brady's a pretty well-renowned offensive mind. He runs some pro-style stuff in the past. He's now there at in Buffalo, and he'll probably get some head coaching looks.
I see what you're saying. So if you're in college but you're running a pro offense, yeah. Then what's the difference?
Right. Like, Charlie Weiss, for example, kind of would go back and forth as a professional offense guy at the college level. But if you're doing the everyone's in shotgun, it's four wide, five wide, one leg rises in the air, clap and show the time for the football – then I don't think that's the direction they want to go in right now. That's my guess anyway.
It just seems to me like we're hearing a lot about wanting a traditional offense and more of an NFL-style run game and some of the things that they haven't done. That should rule out almost anybody who's running college-y stuff on Saturdays.
You would think, right? Again, if that's the search parameter, if we believe that to be true, and I do, by the way, that stands to reason.
How desirable is this gig? If this was last offseason, it is a 10 out of 10 desirability. Uh-huh. Cliff gets the Saints head coaching job. You're coming off the NFC title game. Jaden Daniels looks like he's on the verge of an MVP and is the next great quarterback in the league. Everything's harmonious. Peters is the new hotshot GM. Dan Quinn has found his north as a head coach. See what I did there? Now, it's not that, because you Quinn going into year three. Somebody said earlier on the phones, one of our callers called him a lame duck. I think that's extreme. I don't think he's a lame duck. A lame duck is you're a dead man walking. Like, it's over, and they just are playing out the clock, basically. That's not the case with Dan Quinn. This could still very well work out that he's here for the next 7 years with a couple of extensions or whatever, if the OC and DC hires go very well. But where are you on that? Go ahead.
So it was a 10, as you already said it. It starts at a very high number because of Jaden Daniels. So if I'm an aspiring OC, a guy that's getting a promotion presumably, or if I'm a head coach that's getting kicked back down to the coordinator level, all I've got to do is make a guy that's already done it once return to a similar level. Versus, let's say something for the sake of argument, Kevin O'Connell doesn't return, and I got to go work with J.J. McCarthy. I'm going, oh my God, this is uphill and a headwind and molasses. Well, people are throwing rocks at me. That's a hard thing to do. Daniels has already had some success. You get him back on track, you're the genius, you're going to be a head coach in a couple years, right? That, to me, makes it still very desirable. Now you start to get dragged down a little bit, though, by the circumstance. What just happened? What kind of weaponry am I going to get? What's, you know, how much autonomy am I going to have? The first thing that, you know, first game I have that's not great, am I going to get that knock on the door? And is Peters going to tell me what I have to do? Is Quinn going to say, like Rivera did, hey, I want you to run the ball more? That sort of weighs it down a little bit. Again, we don't know exactly what's true, what's not, but it would have been a 10. It's now less than that, but it's still a high number for a personal career advancement standpoint, and that's enticing for an OC.
All right, so I'm going to start with the Daniels part. A year ago, working with Jaden Daniels was a 10 out of 10 possibility for a coordinator. Is it still just that part, Daniels in a vacuum? Is that still a grade 10 out of 10 in terms of desirability?
It's not a 10 anymore. It's a high number, though. Maybe 8.5, 9. It's still really good.
Okay.
Because he's a great kid, does everything right.
Right. There are some questions about longevity, durability. I also think they're not loud and they're not like written in pen or Sharpie, but there's certainly more questions about some of the football stuff. The accuracy came back down to earth a little bit. I think the processing was still really good, like going to the right place with the football I've never had an issue with. But getting the ball out, making the quick decision to just like keep the play alive, run versus pass, staying in the pocket. I think there's more questions about that than after year one, after adjustments were made to him that, you know, he didn't readjust to.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, by the way. I mean, we saw it happen.
Absolutely. So I'm going to say that Daniels as a commodity, instead of being a 10 out of 10 desirability, I'll go with you. Let's say it's an 8.5 or maybe even round up to a 9. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's bad.
Yeah, that's the realm I'm in.
Okay, what then is on a 1 to 10 scale the head coaching situation? If last year with Quinn that was a 9, where is that now?
Tougher to quantify. Honestly, it is. It's tougher to quantify. I mean, because what hasn't changed is that he's a great dude. Everybody loves the guy, right? And that's not fake. That's real. So coming to work every day is probably pretty fun. There are miserable cusses that have been in charge of programs.
I've said this a lot,
programs.
Too.
Yeah.
I do not view any part of his like makeup or him as a dude as like put on, fake,
yeah,
strategic. This is not an actor. This is not a phony. Right. I believe he is like legit, awesome hang, one of the nicest dudes to be around. I really believe that.
Yeah, so it's not like you're going to work for Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick, where you might win, but my God, is it tough to clock in every day. So in that regard, that's good. But again, I don't know. Is this guy going to cost me prestige and wins when he can't get timeouts right? Are we going to burn yet another one early in the second half and it finally comes back to bite us and cost us a game? Didn't this year, but that'd mean the process is good. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, so you haven't even brought up the part that I actually think about as being a problem, which is that he may not be long for the gig now.
Yeah.
You know, the Eric Bieniemy thing, where if you remember when they hired Bieniemy, that was the very, very, very end of the cycle where it kind of came down to who the heck are they going to get? And if you remember, they couldn't get someone to take the job,
mm-hmm,
because there was this feeling that you were going in there to be the OC for a lame duck.
Yeah, you were cannon fodder.
Like a dead man walking. Now, again, to the extreme that people are saying Quinn is cooked, I don't believe that. I think this is a jury still out situation. This could still end up going very well. Like, they go 10-7 next year, are a wild card team. They've been in the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, and they're back on track, and he's going to be here for the long haul and get extended. But there was very little to no chance that they were headed in that direction last year, and now there's a real chance they're headed for change, that he could be fired midway through the season. So if Quinn was a 9, I'm saying Quinn's now like a 4.5. I think that it's that
really
different.
Ooh. I could see it. I mean,
how many OC jobs do you get?
Yeah.
You don't get many opportunities.
No.
If you come here for 1 year and then the whole staff gets blown out, you're screwed.
Then that's bad. But the upside, again, and these guys are you know, the alphas, they get to this level because they believe that everything they do is the smartest thing that's ever been done, et cetera. You got to be a little bit delusional to thrive at this level. The flip side is, you know, I got a great chance to make this work. I've got Jaden Daniels. I've got an offseason overhaul that's coming with plenty of salary cap space. There's a great chance there's some new toys to work with. I've got no Terry McLaurin contract drama. Hopefully Laremy Tunsil's locked up. And that's all hopeful. And we got a chance to be really good. And I could be the savior. I could be the star, right? I mean, maybe that would be the counterpoint to that. But you're right. If it goes south, I'm screwed. And I think that's true, maybe especially given the timing, right?
Does any of the Jordan Schultz stuff today matter?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you
got to do your due diligence if you're a potential hire.
I was going to say, I think I need my agent to do a little more work for me, maybe. Because it's not even just about the Jordan Schultz report, which take it or leave it, whatever. And I'm not saying it's wrong as much as it may or may not matter that much that departed coaches are angry about how involved the GM was. But last year, you're joining a freight train. And they acted like it, by the way. Next stop, Super Bowl, the hot organization in the league. Mm-hmm. Their ass didn't stink. And it was warm and fuzzy. Like you were joining something that everyone wanted to be a part of. It was the it team in the league last offseason. I don't know what the opposite of that is in terms of teams this year, but they might be one of them. Like, this is now... The reverse happened on the field. The reports are that things could be bad internally. It's going to be viewed very, very differently. Would I not take the job? Definitely. It wouldn't be a reason not to take the job. But
if you have a choice.
I don't think I would have said to my agent last time, hey, let's really dig in here.
Like, okay.
It would have been as easy as the Commanders want me. I could be a part of that.
Yes, signed.
I could be a part of that steamroller that's just turning everything into pavement in front of them. Okay, tell them. I don't care what they're offering me. Don't negotiate. Take the first offer.
Right,
it's not that anymore.
Here's where I was going. If all things are equal, right? Meaning you are an OC and you get to pick your situation with any of the new head coaching hires, right? So you think of, you know, Arizona, Cleveland, the Giants, go through the list. Would you rather have an OC job with a new staff inheriting whatever you're inheriting or here? I think this would rank higher than a lot of those places. Like if you're going to Cleveland, doesn't matter what you do, you're probably out of there in 2 years. You go to the Giants, they've been pretty dysfunctional. You go to Arizona, they can't seem to get right, and you're stuck with either bridge quarterback Billy and Jacoby Brissett or try to resurrect Kyler Murray. Probably neither of those. Not a great quarterback draft class.
Baltimore maybe is better.
Baltimore's a better spot. And that's not a knock on anybody. That's a better spot.
Depending on what you think of Jackson Dart, the Giants could be better.
Atlanta?
No.
Not a great spot?
Not a good spot because of they've had too much coaching turnover.
Raiders? No.
Definitely not the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, only it's, maybe Baltimore is a better
the two seed?
Gig.
Yeah, it's the two seed. And maybe if you're rosy on the Giants, meaning you now get a fresh slate with a new guy, maybe you get more time. So that could be the two seed if you want.
I think because of Daniels, it's still immensely desirable. The exercise I'm trying to have, and I think the point we're trying to make, is it is considerably less desirable than a year ago. But I don't think anybody that they would really want would turn them down still.
Right.
Because you have Daniels. Like, wouldn't that be stunning and damaging if a year ago you had people crawling over each other to get a job here, and now this year you had to go with your second or your third option and you got left holding the bag or something? Let's open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067. What do you make of the desirability of the Commanders OC opening? We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. You sleep on Toby's podcast name from back in the day? That was one of the great podcast names ever. When's the last time you recorded an episode of Toby Continued?
God, you're going to have good. To keep waiting for a while.
Yeah?
What did you guys do on Toby Continued?
I feel like you did a Toby Continued after one of the first times we ever hung out and went to the Shohei Ohtani game.
The last time.
Is it? Because I think you sent it to us or somehow I stumbled into it. But I think you sent it. You're like, dude, I just... check this out. I'm like, Toby Continued? This is silly. I love it.
To be or not to be?
That's the name of my iPhone.
When you're on overtime, you should do the bit where you just rename the show Toby Continued.
I might have to.
There are people in radio over the years that are just ultra comfortable and they just kind of do whatever they want and they just like throw their elbows out and just like start doing their own thing. So don't
What's
use...
What's that like?
Must be very nice, by the way, to have that kind of just like walking around like you own the place. But Toby Continued could be the name. Like, don't play overtime anymore. Don't do the normal rejoins. Just get the big voice guy to do a Toby Continued bit.
Yeah, I was telling Vic about it, and it's like a perfect sign-off. You're like, thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night. Toby Continued.
That's a good one, too. That's your Eddie Yost right there.
Now, Darius had a podcast as well. Darius's podcast name, I'm going to say, Darius, I hope this isn't offensive, not quite as good as Toby's. Yours was Yes, Another Podcast.
Correct, yes. I co-hosted it with another gentleman, yes.
You did. Good podcast. I remember listening to it.
It's actually a good name for a podcast. Yeah. I like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You like that name
for that name for a podcast.
I thought it was too self-defeating, and like you don't want to be belittling. Like, you could listen to a million podcasts. We have one,
too. So here's one, too.
It's just like all the others. Like, that, to me, I'm...
But this one is mine, yeah.
I want to know...
Dameron, if you do.
Ooh,
that's pretty good.
Ooh, yeah,
that's
top of my good. Head.
Now, I do have to admit, I was not the creative genius behind Yes, Another Podcast. That would go to my guy, Carlos.
Okay.
I actually was not even the original co-host.
Was he trying to do, like, not another, you know, like, not another...
None of the, yeah, I think it was a kind of a play on that kind of thing, yeah. but, yeah, I wasn't even the original co-host. I kind of, like, I kind of jokingly co-hosted one time, and then...
You were too good.
Next thing I knew, I was hosting 50 other episodes, so...
Oh, one kind of tripped into it. Into a lot
were you guys sports? Or were you doing like pop culture stuff?
So it was more of a pop culture thing. And then I would say of the 50 episodes I did, 30 of them then became sports. It's sports centric, but yeah.
Well, they just spent a half hour talking about the most recent team to get kicked out of Darius's Madden League for beating him.
No, so, that would have been the Madden League podcast.
Clary's the only one behind the scenes so far that has never done a podcast, which is interesting.
But isn't that weird?
We got to get Clary a podcast. I have no idea what we would call it.
He should start one.
Start a podcast. So that we can discuss the name of your podcast at some point.
I got to get on it.
Just think about it.
Really, Clary Podcast.
You should lock busy. In on some kind of podcast.
Lock in on an idea.
Lock in on some kind of name for it.
Lock in on Clary.
Make an audience.
Getting a podcast. Let's go to Chris, who's in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
I couldn't
How
be more
you?
Inside.
That is a, I mean, that is insider baseball.
Ryan's podcast is definitely Ryan Explains It All.
Oh, you
yeah,
know what?
It
explains
is.
It all.
It
there
is.
We go. Ryan it explains it all.
The corporate perspective with Ryan Clary.
With some music to kick it off. I like that.
There might be some trademark issues there. I think this is an extremely desirable job because of the quarterback and the ownership. I don't think there's any less desirable. You know, there's differences of opinion. If I can comment on the Schwartz thing for a minute, I think that I want the front office involved. You know, I don't want them to be so pedantic that they're telling you which formations you need to line up in on certain downs and distances, et cetera. But if there are top-line directives that the OC and DC are flat out ignoring, that's a problem to me. There needs to be an organizational philosophy on what you're doing, especially during a lost season. And if those guys are refusing to develop young players because they're trying to – you know, maintain their job status or whatever.
I think that's right.
That's not good for the organization.
Agreed. Yeah, Chris, good as always. I think that's essential, right? Where I don't care about this week particularly. A good cohesive organization, you tell a coach, hey, you're not going to be judged if you guys play a little worse because you're playing Tyler Owens at safety or, you know, more targets for Ben Sinnott or whatever.
It's why Standig, when he asked Peters, like, hey, did you talk to Dan Quinn about how to operate in week 18. Peters kind of was dismissive, and he joked, like, yeah, I told him to tank, and he told me no. And Quinn's like, I told him hell no. It wasn't that funny of a question.
Right.
Like, that is the gig as a general manager, to have the division for 26 and 27 and beyond in mind. Grant and Danny on the Fan, I want people to hear an excerpt from Take Command, a pod I do with Logan Paulson, breaking down Cliff's offense, the shortcomings, some of the strengths. Really deep dive from Logan, who studies a lot of tape, knows a lot. We'll get to that next right here on G&D.